So a week and a half ago, we had a meeting. We talked. The men gathered on Wednesday. We talked about different ways to fix the yard out here. And one of the things I suggested was to plow or disc the whole field until it was completely broken up and we could roll it out, flatten it, and seed it. And not everybody was excited about the idea. Jeff especially was down on the idea because he had done this field before. He'd plowed it before and it was so full of quack grass, with a lot of work. And he said that when they did it before, they were pulling sod clods for some years. So we decided to try some other ways first. Because if this one's too much work, you know, we'll do something that's less work. And when you're talking about a yard like this, whether here, whether it's your own yard, it doesn't matter what way you decide to fix it. If you till it up, that's fine. If you decide to do something else, that's fine too. Whatever is less work, you do. But when it comes to your spiritual life, God has one word for us. And he says, "For thus saith the Lord of the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Since that meeting we had, I've been thinking about this verse. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. If your garden grows over with weeds and you decide to make a salad out of lamb's quarters and pigweed and nettles, you can. Not a problem. But when it comes to your spiritual life, God says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." I'm sure we've all experienced weeds in our garden. In the spring, you're all gung-ho about pulling those weeds, but by summer, you've gotten busy with other things and you've given up and your garden's all grown over with weeds. And if there are more weeds in your spiritual life today than can be pulled, then today is time to get out the tiller and till. In the physical realm, you have springtime. You have to plant then. And so if you have weeds in August, you don't re-till and replant because then there's no hope of a harvest. Today, when we're talking about spiritual things, it doesn't matter when. If you realize your spiritual garden is full of weeds, it doesn't matter. You get out the tiller and you till. The verse I just read is in Jeremiah 4:3. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Well, we have the similar idea, same idea maybe I should say, in Hosea 10:12. We are exhorted, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It is time. Not it will be time, not it was time, but it is time. As I mentioned, there is no seasons. It's not springtime and harvest in your spiritual life. Now, anytime, when you find weeds in your spiritual life, now is the time to till. It is time to seek the Lord. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. If it said it was time, that would imply the time was past and there is no more hope. If it said it will be time, that would imply that weeds are acceptable for a little while. But it says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. In the springtime, we all feel invigorated, we feel energetic. We dig up old plants and we plant new ones. We get up early to go outside, work in the garden. By late summer, we're sick of it. The weeds are everywhere. The same thing happens in our spiritual lives. We go to some conference. We come home all fired up to read the Bible, all fired up to pray and do things for God. We get up early. We read our Bible before work every morning. We start talking about spiritual things with our friends. But it only lasts for a short time, and the weeds grow back, and the word is beginning to be choked out. And now here's the thing. The longer you let weeds grow, the harder it is to deal with them. If this field had been plowed a year ago, plowing it again would not be a problem. We wouldn't even think about it. That's what you would do. The problem with plowing this field is that it's been so many years. And now it's too much work to plow. And as I said, for this field, that's fine. But when your spiritual life, that's not fine. Every year the land sits, the harder it becomes to plow. As Christians, we are to go between our rows with a cultivator every day to keep that soil loose so the seed of the Word of God has good soil to take root in without the hindrance of weeds. If your heart is like sod, God says, break it up. There are no other options. Don't try something else first. Break up the sod clods of your heart and sow the seed of the Word of God. If you get down to the very bottom of this verse, the command is very simple. Be righteous, be merciful, and seek God. The question is, what is fallow ground? According to the dictionary, fallow simply means uncultivated. Your lawn is fallow ground. If you decide to grow a garden, the first thing you would do if you were to grow a garden in your lawn is you'd get a tiller and you'd break up that hard ground. You could simply push pumpkin seeds into your lawn, but it wouldn't be very likely that you'd get a harvest of pumpkins at the end of the year. Break up your fallow ground. A forest is fallow ground. Have you ever seen a place where the conditions were just right and thousands of little trees are coming up in a little area that's actually previously wasn't forest? And just on the drive here, I happened to notice as I was coming down Rapids Road on the left where the power lines go through that little bit of a clearing there, there was a whole bunch of brown spots on the ground because those hundreds of little pine trees had come up underneath the power line and they had poisoned them all. Each little brown spot in that field was a poisoned tree. And I've seen this with both popple and maple around here especially, where the conditions were just right, and there'll be a little place, a little field, where there are thousands of little maple shoots, or thousands of little popple shoots. You know, if you have a garden full of weeds, it's a problem. But if all of a sudden you have a garden full of trees, you have a big problem. And the Bible talks about that. And I'll be honest, I don't understand everything that is happening in these verses, but the picture is very clear. In the same chapter of Hosea, chapter 10, that I've been reading the verse where it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon you. A few verses earlier, we read in verse 4, they have spoken words swearing falsely in making a covenant. Thus, judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. Yeah, if you let weeds grow in your garden, if weeds start coming up and you say, oh, too many weeds, wait till next year. Just let the weeds grow for a year. It's not a good thing, but they're going to die in the winter and you can start over again in the spring. If you look at your garden and too many trees, I'll wait till next year. Those trees are going to be bigger. And next year, I have to wait till next year again. Pretty soon you're going to have a forest. And here God says that these people had sworn falsely in making a covenant, and I'll be honest, I don't understand everything that's going on. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. These people have problems. And it's just a few verses later where God says, break up your fallow ground. Judgment comes like trees growing in your garden. Trees don't appear full size overnight. Mushrooms might do that, trees don't. It started small. God does not judge without warning. God's judgments are foretold. God lets you see it coming like a little tree starting to grow. Why does God do that? Because He's giving you time to plow your field before that tree comes to full size and bears fruit. Jesus talked about different kinds of ground. I'm going to read a lengthy portion here from Mark. Chapter 4, starting in verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, that some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Jesus is here primarily talking about salvation. When an unbeliever hears the truth of the gospel, these are the four things they will do with it. But Christians do these same four things on a lesser level. Some people hear the word, don't understand it, and don't believe it. You might say it goes in one ear and out the other. And Jesus likened this scenario to seed that was sown and landed on a hard trodden path where it can't sink in. Sitting there on top of the hard dirt, the birds come by and eat it. If someone rejects the Word of God in its entirety, they cannot be saved. But Christians do this on a lesser level. Christians hear the commands of Christ and the apostles, and rather than change their lives, they kind of conveniently forget and let the Word slip. And even if you don't have this attitude to such an extent that you lose your soul out of it, it still is a big problem, and God says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. It's so easy to read the Bible with our ears closed, but God does expect our full attention. Not just so much when we're reading, but even more in our life. Are we obeying? Are we living the lifestyle that the Bible prescribes? Some people hear the word and they get excited about what Jesus did for them. But soon things go wrong and they get discouraged and quit. And Jesus likened this to seed that fell among stones where it had just enough moisture to germinate, but no root, no place for the root to grow. So as soon as the sun comes out for a day, it withers. And this is a character flaw. There are people who never finish anything they start. And don't think that you can be that kind of a person and a good Christian too. The kind of attitude that gets discouraged as soon as something goes wrong is one of the three soil types that will potentially keep a man from being saved. Every time you start a project, you get discouraged about how much work it is. Maybe you got a car to fix up and you get discouraged and you haul it to Oakleaf and sell it and lose money on it. Every time you start something else, you go halfway. Don't tell me that that does not affect your Christian life. It does. If you're going to be a cheerful Christian, you have to have a determined attitude. If you're too much of a morning glory, you won't get saved at all. If you aren't that bad, it won't keep you from salvation, it won't keep you out of heaven, but it will make you miserable on this earth. The Christian life is not a walk in the park. It has its moments that are, but overall the Christian life is referred to as a war, and we are soldiers. It's referred to as a race, and we are the runners. A true morning glory will quit running and will go back. Maybe you're not that much, but you quit running and you start walking. With your hands hanging and your head down. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Don't let the first trouble in your Christian life end it. Don't let the first drought wither your garden because you didn't till it deep enough. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Some people hear the word and profess to want it, but their lives prove that they want other things more. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Jesus likens these people to seed sown among thorns. Now we've been looking at these two verses from the prophets, the one in Jeremiah and the other Hosea. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. And then in Jeremiah, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. So what are thorns? What is fallow ground? Thorns are anything that will choke the word of God. Fallow ground is any heart in which the word of God does not have preeminence. If you don't understand and believe the word of God, your heart is too hard and you're like that path that was hard trodden and the birds of the air come and carry the seeds away. If you get discouraged as soon as trouble arises, your heart is like stony ground. If the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things choke the word, your heart is like a garden of thorns. But there's one other way that people respond when they hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And this good ground that Jesus talked about is the opposite of the other three grounds. First, it's a soft heart, where the word of God can sink deeper than the surface. Second, it's a determined heart that will persevere through trials and hardships and persecution. Third, it's a focused heart that will not let the cares of earth and the lusts of things get in the way. And these three things make what Jesus called good ground. If you do not have all three of these things, God has one command for you. Break up your fallow ground. A soft heart, a determined heart, and a focused heart make a good heart. Don't think you're doing okay if you have two of the three. If you are missing any one of these things, it's time to get the tiller out. To have a soft heart towards the Word of God is essentially to love reproof. To have a soft heart towards the Word of God is essentially to love reproof. Wisdom is speaking in the first chapter of Proverbs, and it says in verse 28, "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Whoso loveth instruction loveth righteousness, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." Where do you stand? Do you love having your shortcomings brought to light so you can work on them? Do you love having your sin exposed to your own eyes so you can take it to God and ask forgiveness? Do you love having your weaknesses challenged so you can go to God and ask for strength? Or would you rather not hear such things? Would you rather not know about your own sins? Is your heart soft toward the Word of God? Do you love reproof? Do you love rebuke? Or do you need a tiller? When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, some of the Egyptians came along with them. But when things started getting tough, they were the first to complain. And we read in Numbers 11:4, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes.'" But complaining is not all they did. When the spies brought back, the 10 spies, all excepting Joshua and Caleb, when they brought back the evil report, the children of Israel began to make plans to go back. And Moses and Aaron fell on their face and wept. And it didn't happen. Wept and prayed for them. Numbers 14:1, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness! And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain and return into Egypt.'" These were stony ground believers. They followed God when it was easy and not when it was hard. And then we find in John chapter 6, Jesus preached one of his hardest sermons ever. And at the end we read, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, 'Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father.' From that time, Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Very sad words. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus' hard words were hard then, and they're still hard now. Not everything Jesus said was butter and cream. He said things that cut deep to the bottom of the sinful heart of man. You may decide you want to be a Christian when you hear of God's eternal love and His promise of peace and life. And those things are good. Those are good reasons to be a Christian. But will you continue through the hard words of Jesus and the commands that are bothersome? Will you continue when your neighbors mock you and when your old friends despise you? Will you continue? In the book of Acts, we have two men who came right up to accepting Christ and then turned and walked away. And I don't know what kind of bad ground they had. Don't know which one it was, but it's sad either way. The first one we find in Acts 24:22. Paul is talking with Felix. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call. In Acts 26:27, we have the other one. Again, Paul is talking to King Agrippa. And he asks him in verse 27 of 26, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I don't know if it was the lust of this world or the fear of persecution that kept these men from Christ. But neither of those things is worth the price of losing your soul for eternity. These men had fallow ground and were not willing to break it up. Your thorns might be grown big, they might have pretty purple flowers on top, but God doesn't care. He says, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Everything this world has to offer, God calls thorns. The wealth, the fame, the fun that it promises, and most people never get anyway, God calls thorns. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and fame. You cannot serve God and pursue happiness. You cannot serve God and anything else. It's true that God commands us to use money. Sometimes a Christian might become famous for something, and God promises true happiness. These things are not wrong of themselves. But the pursuit of these things, or the service of these things, will choke out the Word of God. You cannot garden thorns and wheat in the same plot of ground. If you're trying to serve God and the things this world offers, the things this world offers will choke out the Word of God, just like the thorns will choke out the wheat. Thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Let us all examine our hearts this morning according to this standard. Is our ground good? Is the Word of God flourishing in our hearts? Or does the Word of God have to compete with other things? Is your ground good? If it's good, keep it good by tilling it every day. If it's not good, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll sing a song. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this exhortation that You've left us to break up our fallow ground. And I pray that You would take this Word home to each heart here, to the youngest and to the oldest, to the saved, to the unsaved, wherever we are at. God, show us what ground in our heart is uncultivated. Show us what corner of our heart Your Word does not have preeminence. Show us what part of our heart needs to be tilled up so the Word can take root. Help us, God. Give us the courage. Give us the strength to do this. Amen.